Superhuman Radio will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible, but now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products, whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products, you'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a new week, and we're starting the week off with a very, very important show. Estimates vary, but around 1 in 10 women will suffer from PCOS or ovarian cysts at some point in her lifetime. Depending when you suffer with them, before you are past the childbearing years or not, will determine whether or not you end up with surgery or just a treatment. This is a big deal, in my humble opinion. And we've actually had my guest today, Dr. Linda Frasetto. How are you doing, Dr. Frasetto?
Hi, Carl.
We've had you on the show before to talk about this back when you were looking to fund a study. That study has actually been funded and is underway. We're going to talk about that as well. But I think we need to discuss first and foremost what polycystic ovary syndrome actually is, for those who don't know.
Okay, so, you know, that's a really good question, and there isn't really one definition for polycystic ovarian syndrome. So syndrome means that it has all of these various typical features. But that, from a medical point of view, doesn't really define it. And so right now the definition is you have to have two of three things. You have to have high androgen levels, you have to have irregular menstrual cycles or other evidence of ovarian dysfunction, and you have to have large ovaries with lots of forming cysts. And any two of those three will define you as having polycystic ovarian syndrome. But, so that means that some people have one of these things, or some people have two, and some people have all three. And since we don't necessarily believe that, that one thing is causing, like, let's say, high androgen levels, that means that there's possibly other diseases that you might have, but we're kind of throwing you into this grab bag, which we call polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's really hard to make this definition, and with such a broad range of possibilities. Now, one of my colleagues who's an endocrinologist believes that this diagnosis is overused, and that really we're just calling people things that they might not necessarily have. I work with the infertility clinic at UCSF, and so the infertility doctors do a variety of biochemical tests so that when they make that diagnosis, it's more that we've proven that you have these biochemical abnormalities as well as having the large ovaries. So, you know, it's a complicated question.
Okay, so you say that some physicians think that it's overused as a term to kind mm-hmm. of catch all. But clearly, if you have cysts, These cysts are filled with what, Dr. Fasano?
Well, they're follicles, actually. So, you know, ovaries make eggs, and those are, they grow inside the follicles. And if you actually have PCOS, what we think is that the biochemical abnormalities are affecting the way the follicles grow. So they don't, maybe they don't grow properly or they're developing abnormally. And that might be why, in fact, it's hard for a lot of women who have PCOS to get pregnant.
Right.
Or they have what's called anovulatory cycles, which means that they don't, the eggs don't break open the way they're supposed to in the middle of the cycle. So, you know, there, it's not so much cysts, because cysts can be anywhere, but these are really abnormally growing follicles.
Okay. Okay, so do you agree with this, the idea? Or do you think, I find that when we find something that seems to be growing in the population, there are two schools of thought. One that says we're over-diagnosing this condition, and one that says we're under-diagnosing this condition. Where do you fall in that discussion?
Right. So what I can tell you is what we have, you know, what we've seen in infertility clinic, which is that the women who are referred to UCSF for PCOS, which means that then we have a tertiary referral clinic, which means that they've probably been referred by their doctors because they haven't been able to treat the PCOS, that about one, maybe like a third to a half of the women that we're screening actually don't have the biochemical definitions that we're looking for. So not to say that they don't have this syndrome, okay? They might be, you know, they might be anovulatory or have irregular cycles, or they, you know, but they might not be insulin resistant, or they might not, like, have high androgen levels. So really, what we're seeing is that a lot of people who are being referred for infertility don't seem to have that, even though they carry that diagnosis, or
that's,
they come to us carrying that diagnosis.
That's interesting. That really is interesting.
Yeah. We were surprised, let me tell you. You know, I mean, before we started looking at this seriously, our infertility doctors were saying, oh, you know, practically everybody who comes to clinic, you know, has all of these things, and that turns out not to be true.
So if some of these women are coming forth and don't have the traditional markers of PCOS, but yet they are infertile and they do have ovarian cysts, you're saying, they just don't have the high insulin levels and they don't have the high androgen levels. Am I correct in understanding that?
Right. Some of them do and some of them don't. Again, you know, this is a whole grab bag of things. Some of, you know, and you might have, you know, A, B, and C and not D, E, and F.
Right.
So
clearly the cysts in those ovaries are being caused by something other than what we think is traditionally the cause of PCOS then.
Well, they're infertile for other reasons. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're infertile for other reasons, not necessarily cysts.
Right. This is a fertility clinic, okay? And so that women come because they've been unable to get pregnant.
Okay. So let me ask you this question then. Of the women who are infertile, well, I guess, but all women who suffer from true PCOS, they have cysts in their ovaries, and that's why they're infertile. Do they generally have those?
No. Okay, let me stop you there.
Okay.
So they have the biochemical and endocrine problems that they have. So high androgen levels, high insulin levels, maybe high obesity hormone levels, increased inflammation, whatever this combination of things is doing is making the follicles, not the cysts, but the follicles develop abnormally. And because of that, we think that these follicles aren't growing very well. They're not growing the way they're supposed to. And so it's much harder for these women to get pregnant.
Okay.
That's what we think is the problem with the infertility with PCOS.
Okay.
So it's a combination of things which are causing the eggs not to develop the way they're supposed to or not to be released the way they're supposed to.
Okay. Of the women who actually are diagnosed with PCOS, they actually have cysts, for infertility being an aside, They actually have multiple cysts in the ovaries. The ovaries are larger than they're supposed to be. Do they always present with high androgen levels and or high insulin and blood sugar levels?
No, they
don't. Okay,
they
don't either. Okay, that's what I was getting at. Okay.
Right. So that's why I'm saying is that it's a, you know, it's really a grab bag of things. So, you know, when you do studies on PCOS, you know, how you define it is going to make a difference on who you're studying.
Really?
So,
I get that now.
Yeah, you know, which is why I think, you know, you see lots of studies, and one study will show one thing, and then another study will show something a little different, or doesn't show what the first study showed. And again, you have to say to yourself, are they really comparing the same group of people?
Yeah, I mean, you know what, I had a whole line of questions set up because I was coming to this interview with some assumptions that really are not accurate now, which is going to make the interview even more interesting. So, okay, so let's talk about those who do have traditional polycystic ovarian syndrome and present with high androgen levels and high insulin levels. If you had to do the chicken and egg discussion, which of those precedes the other as far as in its relationship to the onset of this syndrome?
You know, that's really the million-dollar question. You know, really, we don't know. Okay. Because a lot of these factors are interrelated. And for example, let's just take being overweight. Okay. A lot of women with PCOS are overweight or obese. A lot of people who are obese have insulin resistance, whether or not they have PCOS. Insulin resistance is thought to be really important in terms of causing the ovaries to actually secrete more androgen levels, and the high levels of insulin and androgens may directly affect the way the follicles grow. And so, really, we don't know which comes first. Okay? There are women who are diagnosed with PCOS who are not obese or overweight, and yet they're insulin resistant. There are women who are diagnosed with this who are neither obese nor insulin resistant, but have high androgen levels. So really, we don't know.
Yeah, this is really something. Because I was coming from the assumption that hyperinsulinemia causes hyperandrogenemia in women, androgenemia in women. And so it has to be, and when you look at other diseases, other chronic diseases that are very, very popular in current times, you see high blood sugar levels, uncontrolled insulin production being the cause of those. So I was coming to this and thinking, look, we know that hyperinsulinemia, insulin resistance are causing all these other diseases today. Surely that has to be what's causing hyperandrogenemia in these women and the changes in their ovaries, but you're saying that's not clear now.
Well, it's certainly true for some, but not all women who are diagnosed with PCOS. So I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm going to say that's not true for 100% of people. But yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of women who are diagnosed with PCOS are both hyperinsulinemic and have high androgen levels. So yeah, I mean, you know, some people do.
Do we see any racial divides in PCOS? Do we see African American women being more prone to it or less prone to it, Hispanic women and so on?
We don't, no.
No. Wow. Boy, this is really a very, very challenging syndrome to address then. Here's what I want to do.
Right.
I want to take a quick commercial break. I want to recap on what we talked about in the past that was leading up to this study. And we could also talk about diet as well. We're talking right now with Dr. Linda Fresetto. She's with the University of California at San Francisco. We're talking about PCOS. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Prime Nutritionist proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils, high-end CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Linda Frasetto from University of California, San Francisco, about PCOS. We're going to talk about therapeutic diets in a moment as well. So, is there, what about the linkage between PCOS and estrogen itself? There's a lot of discussion today about xenoestrogens, phytoestrogens, and obesity that leads to overproduction or, not just production, but obviously these other estrogen-mimicking compounds. Do you think there's any linkage to that and PCOS?
So as far as I know, the answer to that one is no. It really appears, at least from the biochemical tests that are usually done, that it's really a problem with high levels of androgen steroids, not estrogen steroids. And the So the ratio of the androgen steroids to the estrogen steroids, mm-hmm. the androgen steroids are high in comparison to the estrogen ones. So I don't think so.
What about an individuals who, I keep coming back to hyperinsulinemia. When you test these individuals, you look at their insulin levels as well as their blood sugar levels, right?
Exactly. So there's two ways of doing it. So one, you can just get one single blood draw and you get a fasting glucose level and a fasting insulin level. And some people just have high fasting insulin levels. But the formal way to do it is to do something called an oral glucose tolerance test,
right.
which is a 2 or 3 hour test where you drink a glucose solution, and then at various times during the test we draw blood for glucose and insulin, and we look at the so-called area under the curve, or look at the high, look at the insulin levels at each time point, and we see whether or not that comes out high or not. So that's the formal test for, insulin resistance.
And
that's common, okay.
And when women present with insulin resistance and PCOS, mm-hmm. when you address their insulin resistance, either through a therapeutic diet or something like metformin, for instance, do you see a correction? Do you see changes in the syndrome? Do you see them getting better?
Yes, exactly. So there have been a lot of studies that have looked at a variety of different ways of trying to treat insulin resistance. So one is lifestyle modification, so diet and exercise. And most of the studies show that if you lose somewhere between 5% and 10% of your body weight, if you're overweight, that's enough to help improve the insulin resistance or exercise. There are some studies specifically that look at various types of diet, like is low carb better than normal carb? And, certainly for studies where you're looking at other types of insulin resistance, low carb diets tend to do very well in terms of weight loss and improving glycemic control. There are certain medications that we use, and metformin is certainly one of those. Depending on who you read, the most recent Endocrine Society recommendations say to use metformin as a second-line drug and not as a first-line treatment for the insulin resistance. They're going with lifestyle modification first.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I think that's really good. There are some drugs that we used to use which have now been taken off the market, so they're not available anymore, that were, that helped with insulin, so-called insulin sensitization, meaning that, the insulin worked a little better. And then for the hormone irregularities, the most common thing that's used is hormone treatments,
And when you say hormone treatments, they'll just put some of these
that's
women
birth control. Pills.
Birth control, right? But there are issues with that aside. I mean, usually you put a woman on a progesterone only type pill, and it seems to correct the PCOS. But there are other risk factors associated with taking those pills that are separate, right?
Yeah, and not everybody wants to take them. Like all pills, like all things we do, they have side effects, and not everybody tolerates the side effects very well.
What about alcohol? Does alcohol play in when you see women who are developing PCOS? Alcohol seems to have pleiotropic effects, especially on the insulin sensitivity landscape, affects thyroid hormone, which it could affect insulin sensitivity, as well as it seems to raise blood sugar levels. Is there a common link between women who drink alcohol with some regularity and PCOS?
Not specifically. I mean, it's more a question of what is the alcohol doing. And so if you say that alcohol is damaging to the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas, then, it's directly toxic. Alcohol affects the liver cells. It's directly toxic to the liver cells. And alcohol has lots of calories in it. So, and if you're on a, weight loss diet, and you're drinking a lot of alcohol, then, hard to lose weight.
Right.
So, You know, so really, I mean, it has direct and indirect effects, but as far as I know, it doesn't specifically affect, like, say, androgen or estrogen levels.
And obviously these androgens are produced by both the ovaries and adrenal glands in a woman, correct?
Different tissues.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there.
I said yes, they're probably produced by a variety of different tissues, but the adrenal glands and the ovaries are two main ones.
And obviously, if the ovaries are being affected by this, then obviously that's where the hyperandrogenemia can come from. So maybe that's the first thing that happens. The ovaries kind of go haywire and start producing too much androgens, right?
You know, really, we don't know.
No, huh?
No.
Boy, this is beguiling. And obviously, this is why you wanted to do this research study, which is underway right now, correct?
Right, exactly. So what we're trying to do, what most of the studies have done is say, well, you have to lose weight in order to be able to improve the metabolic profiles and improve insulin. And what we're doing is we're just comparing a typical, for women, and these are women who are insulin resistant in our study, so we're comparing one type of diet, which is the standard diet that the American Diabetes Association uses for treating high blood sugar levels, compared to a what we're calling a paleolithic diet, which is really a diet where we've removed various food groups like grains and dairy products, processed foods. And so the women, actually, my personal belief is that if you're really following a paleo diet, then you're going to be eating a relative to what you were eating before, you're going to be eating less calories. But we don't specifically put them on a low-calorie diet. We just tell them, here, eat these kinds of foods. And we're comparing to see what happens. So.
And that's the study that's going right now. And are you still looking for people to participate in that study? Am I correct about that?
Yeah, we are still looking for people. So for women who live in the San Francisco Bay Area who are interested in being in the study, then those are the people that we're recruiting.
And how can people reach you if they're listening to the show in that area and want to be part of this? Obviously, they have to suffer from PCOS first, right?
Right, exactly. But what we would do is actually bring them to the infertility clinic at UCSF and do the test there to confirm that they actually have what we think they have, and then they would be eligible to participate.
Okay, and how can people find you?
Well, the easiest way is either my UCSF email, which is linda.frisetto@ucsf.edu, or my phone number, which is 415-476-6143.
And Linda is spelled L-Y-N-D-A dot Frisetto is F-R-A-S-S-E-T-T-O, for those of you who want to try to email. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We've got more to discuss about PCOS and diet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin. Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Linda Frisetto. We're talking about PCOS. It's a syndrome, not a disease, which means that there are ways to treat it. But apparently, there's a lot of different ways because there's a lot of different reasons that women develop it. When looking at things from the insulin-resistant standpoint, Dr. Frisetto, when you have a woman and she has been validated as having true PCOS, and you get her diet under control, and she's eating either a low glycemic index type diet or a paleo diet, how important is eliminating the grains in this? Because grains have been identified as being very pro-inflammatory, and obviously there's some people who are more sensitive to this than others, hence celiac disease and others. How important is the inclusion of grains across the expanse of different dietary templates?
You know, that's a really excellent question. And I don't know that anybody specifically looked at just that one thing. You know, typically when they do studies with, let's say, low-carb diets, they just automatically exclude things like that because they're
right.
high in carbohydrates.
Right.
But they also exclude a variety of other things which also have carbohydrates in them, like, you know, certain types of vegetables and a lot of fruits and, you know, so... We've never really looked at, you know, just one thing. But do I think that that's a part of it? Yeah, it could be. And there's some other data that suggests that, there might be a kind of like chronic pro-inflammatory state in PCOS too. Of course, my personal opinion is that when you have that many metabolic abnormalities, I wouldn't be surprised to see that there's some sort of pro-inflammatory state, and that's another one of those things that I think tends to go together. But, you know, yes, it may be that it's really some very specific things which are also causing not just, you know, high carb intake or high calorie intake, but also some sort of pro-inflammatory thing. You know, that's one of these things that I think in the future, now that we're looking at intestinal
microbiome, yeah.
flora, microbiomes, and what exactly is the, you know, are the various food groups doing? I think that we'll have a better idea in the future. I don't necessarily think that we know now.
That's interesting because what we have learned about the microbiome, at least on this show, we've been talking about it for many, many years now. I remember doing a variety of different interviews, all for different reasons, about the microbiome or about a specific hormone, only to find out that there's a symbiotic relationship with something in the microbiome. And like one show we did on oxytocin, we found out that in the presence of oxytocin, there's certain firmicutes that increase population in the gut, which leads one to believe that maybe those particular microbes also kind of help support the production of oxytocin. There seems to be a yin and yang between the gut and hormones, which would be interesting to expose because insulin is a hormone, regardless if it's, you know, it's a peptide hormone. It's not a traditional cholesterol-based hormone, but it's still a hormone. But also androgens and their relationship with the diversity of a woman's gut. You know, I'm not saying that the microbes are producing this, but I think that it could be another significant fingerprint of the disorder if you see this dysbiosis in the gut as well. So that's really interesting. The other reason I asked about grains too is because so I have lots of friends who have been tested and they are sensitive to gluten and probably other lectins in grain. But then they turn out to be sensitive to dairy and egg. And I've talked about this on the show. You know, what you feed the animal is expressed in the milk that they produce. We know this from children who are breastfeeding, that if the mom has certain things in the diet, it passes through to the milk. And also, we know that they are in the embryo, too, of the which is the egg. And so whenever I talk to people about, you know, what do you think about grain in this scenario, I'm always holding my breath and waiting for them to say, nah, because they're allergic to eggs and dairy, too. And I think to myself, yeah, but there's gluten in there. And we don't think about it, but there is gluten in there. And that could be the linkage between the dairy and egg and gluten sensitivity triad, in my humble opinion. So,
well, you know, I'm not going to say no. I'm just going to say that it's possible to be, like, lactose intolerant without being gluten intolerant. So, you know, again, you know, it's possible to develop intolerances to a variety of different things, and they don't necessarily have to be, you know, related to each other. But the propensity to develop intolerances, that's something that might very well have both a genetic and an environmental basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say that, you know, there's probably, you know, again, it's one of those things where it's probably multifactorial, like anything that's complicated.
How long does it take for the PCOS start to subside once a woman is doing the things that are proper for her dietarily, maybe exercise and so on. How long does it take for us to see these androgen levels start to stabilize and ovaries become more normalized?
Right, somewhere between 3 and 6 months.
Yeah, takes a while. And see, that's the other problem.
Yeah.
That's the other problem with therapy. See, you know, every time I hear about a disease, I always think to myself, doesn't a doctor want to know what really causes it before they just prescribe a pill or potion that is going to mask the symptoms? But the part of that problem is the patience. The patience of the patients. People usually want this to go away now. But if you tell a patient, look, in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, you will actually have this reversed, but you're going to have to do this for 6 months. And with patient compliance being what it is, just to take a pill every day, it's even more difficult to get someone to change their lifestyle for 6 months, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You can't get people to take pills every day, and you can't get people to stick with behavioral modification for long periods of time. I think that they're both problems, and I do agree that a lot of people feel that taking a pill is easier than, actually changing, what they eat or how much they exercise.
Now, the reason that you're doing this study now is because you appeared on my show, I want to say back in 2014, talking about, you did have a small trial at that time, right? With women who were diagnosed with PCOS and putting them on a paleo diet, right?
No, so what we've done in the past is we've been looking at paleo diets just in terms of, how they improve metabolic parameters and blood pressure and a variety of things independent of weight loss. So the problem with losing weight is that losing weight does all of these things. And, if you're trying to actually study what does a diet do, you can't have people lose weight. So we were looking at no weight loss diets where we just put people on diets for a couple weeks and then we look to see what happened to their metabolic parameters. And so then you can show that, in people who are insulin, actually even in everybody, but especially people who are insulin resistant, things like paleolithic diets work particularly well in terms of reversing the insulin resistance or the high cholesterol levels, helps improve blood pressure, all these things which we think are good for you.
Yeah.
So when we started doing this study, the reason that we chose to study PCOS is because we were saying, well, if this is good for people who have insulin resistance, let's just try a different thing when somebody who has insulin resistance and let's just see whether or not it helps. So that's why we chose to do that. So this is the first time we've studied PCOS, but not the first time that we've studied people with insulin resistance.
Okay. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to invoke a discussion about sleep. Because clearly, sleep is a major contributor, or the lack thereof, is a major contributor to disease, insulin resistance, obesity, and a lot of other disorders, and it appears to affect the pro-inflammatory landscape. And so maybe we can talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Linda Frasetto. She's with UC San Francisco. They are working on unlocking some of the codes of PCOS in women. If you live in that area and you'd like to participate in their research study, give the phone number again, Dr. Frasetto.
That would be code 415-476-6143.
There you go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance?
performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have.
Welcome back.
Maybe I didn't dream.
We're talking with Dr. Linda Fresetto from UC San Francisco about PCOS. Dr. Fresetto, our population is deeply sleep deprived. There are so many things that affect sleep today. It's unbelievable. And the linkage between sleep, cancers, insulin resistance, and so on just goes on and on. People don't respect their sleep and the need for sleep any longer. What role do you think sleep is playing, or the lack thereof, in the development of true PCOS?
Well, there's a lot of data suggesting that there's an interplay between how much sleep you get and how hungry you are, and that the less you sleep, the hungrier you are and the more you want to eat. So in terms of developing insulin resistance, I mean, the more overweight you are, the chances are the higher you're, you know, the more likely you are to be insulin resistant. So, I mean, I think that in terms of just, you know, eating properly, there's a clear relationship between the two of those. And then sleep itself, I mean, you know, that's another one of those complicated things, but it's pretty clear that if you're if you're not getting enough sleep, your stress hormone levels tend to be, you know, higher. And so whenever you're running under higher stress, everything is kind of being revved up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and that's not the way we're ideally adapted to work. And there's a lot of data that suggests that chronic stress does just about everything you can think of, or whatever problem you have, it makes it worse.
Right, right. There's a new player in the PCOS world, and that are postmenopausal women on HRT. We see women who are on HRT because of the potential imbalances in improperly what's the word I'm looking for? Prescribed or monohormonal HRT type approaches. Are you starting to see more women who are presenting with, because obviously they're not showing up at the fertility clinic, but they're showing up in doctor's offices and after an ultrasound, they're going, wow, you've got cysts on your ovary and you're 58 years old and you went through menopause 10 years ago, but you've been on HRT.
Yes. So that actually is something where if you try to actually, you know, look at that, there have not been a lot of studies looking at that, but it is something that they've, you know, been discovering more. Again, these may be people who possibly had this earlier in life. They were just never specifically diagnosed with
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to the hormone therapy is doing that. You know, but yeah, hormone, what is hormone therapy? I mean, hormone therapy is estrogens and progesterone. And so, yeah, that's what estrogen and progesterone does.
It's estimated that most women have had a cyst on their ovary, but it doesn't present with any symptoms and they go through their life and never notice it. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. I mean, now that we do ultrasounds a lot more than we ever used to, we're finding all kinds of things that we never found before simply because we're ultrasounding more people.
And is there a linkage between any type of particular birth control option and the development of PCOS?
As far as I know, it's the other way around. We use birth control to treat PCOS.
Okay. What would you like women who have been diagnosed with PCOS, true PCOS, you know, they've got hair growth on their face and they have irregular menstrual cycles and they've had cysts bursts and all this other, what would you say to them right now if they're going, you know, I just want to do something to make this go away?
Right. So if you, let's look, what's your primary goal? If your primary goal is to be overall more healthy, then I think that the thing that's going to be the most helpful in the long run is lifestyle modification. So, you know, really, good diet. I mean, really, I want to just say I've been a doctor for more than 30 years, and I'm a specialist, and I find I'm telling people, yeah, you should follow a diet and exercise more. So, you know, 30 years of medical training, and that's what I'm telling people. But really, you know, it's in terms of like the best long-term way of trying to stabilize or prevent long-term developments that are related to being overweight or hyperglycemic or have high cholesterol levels is to, you know, modify your diet and exercise more. So I think that always has to be number one.
Right.
And then there are very specific things that we do to try to treat very specific things. So if you're trying to regularize your periods, hormone replacement therapy does that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Might not necessarily treat the insulin resistance, but it definitely regularizes your periods. Okay? And can alter the androgen levels. Okay? So, you know, really, if you're trying to get pregnant, then they use very specific fertility drugs to try to improve fertility. And so, depending on what your goal is, the treatments are different. But my personal feeling is that the baseline for all of this should be lifestyle modification, which is diet and exercise.
Yeah, that's the answer to everything. Especially
and maybe sleeping better, you know? I mean, You know, as we're going to talk about sleep, and you know, and you're living the, you know, modern lifestyle, you actually have to say to yourself, you know, it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to go to sleep, or, you know, I'm not going to stay up till 1, or I'm going to try to avoid things that prevent me from getting to sleep, like, you know, let's say caffeine or eating late at night.
I tell you what I really think one of the worst culprits are, and I would challenge any woman listening to the show to tell me that I'm wrong, but I think that a lot of women, before they go to bed, they'll either get their iPad or their iPhone, and, you know, they'll check in with a couple things, read a couple emails. And what you fail to realize is that the intensity of that light and the blue wavelength of that light tells the body that it's morning and tells the adrenals, oh, it's not time to go to sleep, it's time to wake up. And I would challenge any woman who does that regularly at the end of the night, you know, sit down for 20 minutes, half hour, and check in on Facebook, to try not doing that for 2 weeks. It takes 2 weeks. Try not doing that for 2 weeks and see if you don't sleep better, sleep deeper, not wake up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., roll over and have to wait to fall back to sleep. You have no idea how modern technology is so damaging to sleep. It's unbelievable. Forget about the wireless that's radiating throughout the house that's been shown to excite the brain. Just try eliminating the blue light before bed at night.
Okay. I'm willing to certainly try that. I actually don't know anything about that.
Oh, it's profound. In fact, I have a pair of blue blocker sunglasses that if I have to get on my phone for a minute before bed because there was an email coming from a different time zone that I need, I'll put those glasses on. I know I look goofy with them, but I'll put those glasses on to block the blue light, because that blue light will trigger, it produces intraocular GABA, which doesn't suppress nerve activity, but is one of the cascading effects that tells the adrenal glands that, hey, it's not time to go to sleep. Red light is sleep provoking. Blue light tells the body that it's another locomotive period coming up. It's time to wake up. And even a small, even if you don't fully wake the adrenals back up, if they just squirt a little bit of those daytime hormones out, the epinephrine, norepinephrine, just a tiny, tiny little bit, that competes with the melatonin that the pineal gland is producing, and you don't get good sleep. That's it.
Mm.
So it's really magic. Right.
And then the other thing that, you know, we sometimes do is, like, we also teach behavioral modification, and one of those has to do with learning how to relax before you go to sleep at night, which, again, would do the same thing as you're talking about, which is trying to lower the levels of chronic stress, which, again, can be affecting how awake you are. So,
yeah, very, very good stuff. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about this subject today.
Well, thanks again for asking me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and please, yeah. You know, let us know. I'll continue. I'll put something up on my blog this week, giving people information who live in that Bay Area who want to participate in this research. I think it's very, very important. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thanks again.
Okay, take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the NGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth. It dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
That's really all I got. I had to run that commercial break. We have lots of great shows planned all week. I hope you can tune in. The mystery about PCOS continues. You know what? I believe it is really insulin resistant, insulin resistance related. And lifestyle, exercise makes a big difference to everything. All these diseases that we suffer from today, we're bringing them on ourselves because of our choices. People don't think about the endpoints of their choices at all. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.